Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and friend, that is McCotter, American Greatness, is with me, and we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We've got a lot to do, from the Gaza War to the question of Iran to the question of Jordan and Lebanon. We begin with a headline out of London to say the upset is everywhere. Gaza war protesters spray labor headquarters with red paint. My goodness. Satish, you have a question for Malcolm.
Yes, hello, Malcolm. We keep hearing all these kinds of reports, like John just mentioned. How much of this is disinformation? How much of it is accurate? What can you tell us?
So that really goes to the core of all the issues we're likely to discuss today, and that is the tremendous amount of organized disinformation, not just individuals who are spreading lies on the internet and making up stories, but an organized campaign that unfortunately gains currency in international bodies like the International Criminal Court or the United Nations, where the lies, you know, get repeated often enough, people begin to accept them, even at a governmental level, and it takes some people to try and counter it. I saw John Spencer of West Point, who gave this really ringing response about Israel setting a new standard in urban warfare with the precautions that they took about the protection of the enemy's civilian population, talking about the numbers killed, that is the most imbalance, should say, that the number of civilians to the number of military killed is probably the lowest, even lower than what we had in Afghanistan and in Iraq and other places. And he goes on to analyze this, and I think it's important for people to see it. But we also see the lies in regard to the hospitals and all of these stories that have come out, that Israel now just withdrew from Khan Yunis and the Shifra Hospital, where they caught 1,000 terrorists, 200 were killed, 800 captured, and tons of military equipment that they were using it. And as the United States representative said, Israel didn't go in to take a hospital. They went in to get terrorists. They did not destroy the hospital largely. And this is by admission of Hamas guys themselves. They talk about how they, the Hamas gunmen, destroyed the Shifra Hospital, firing from the emergency room and the maternity ward and other places against the Israeli troops. And they were throwing explosive devices from the burn unit, for instance, And they were responsible for a lot of the destruction of the medical facilities, which by international law should be protected. But once it's used as a front for terrorism, it loses its protected status. And these are only two of the many examples we could cite about how much misinformation, the accusations that Israel is violating international law, when the investigation by the United States found that Israel was using weapons in line with international law and was not blocking Gaza aid, although they did ask them to enhance it, and they have. So if we would take each of the things that have come up and we can describe what is being said in much of the media without any attempt to counter it, the fact that there's famine when there is no famine, the pictures that have come out of the marketplaces show food overflowing, that 280,000 tons of food have gone in since October 7th, and hundreds of trucks with food, but Hamas steals it, and then they sell it in the marketplace, much to the anger of the people. So people should be very careful before assuming that what you see, what you hear, what you read is true.
Malcolm, there's a plan from October 7th that's been either captured or revealed. What is it?
Again, John, a very important point in terms of the accusations against Israel that have been made. And Israeli television, through Hamas operatives, has gotten a hold of the plan where they plan to reach the heart of Tel Aviv on October 7th. They were thwarted in that by the Israeli forces that were mobilized, and that there were several phases that they were to undertake. The first phase, we saw the killing of the 1,200, taking those immediate areas, but it was to breach in the north as well as in the south towards Israel's nuclear facility in Dimona. And that was a central target, and then to raid Tel Aviv and to kill people, as many as possible, in the afternoon and evening when there are large numbers out. And a mass massacre was planned for that. So this is just one of the documents. And then was another document where they admit, Hamas's own officials admit, and this was in an Arabic document, that they Hamas admits that their soldiers were responsible for the deaths of a lot of the people because of the failed rocket launches of their own. And we know that more than 25% of the rockets they have fired in the past fall within Gaza, and that they are therefore responsible for many of the deaths that they blame on Israel.
Iran. Now, this is the strangest headline, Malcolm. You're going to have to help me with this. This is a headline in Jerusalem Post. Iran offers no response to Damascus strike if the U.S. secures Gaza ceasefire. I had to write that down twice. What does that mean?
So it's another one of the obfuscations. It's another one of this, another stage in the propaganda campaign. You know, yesterday marked the 6-month anniversary since the beginning of the war on October 7th. And we've seen the attacks at Iran. It has been responding to the targeted assassination of a key general who we find out was also a member of the Shura Council of Hezbollah, had been in the army and the military for more than 40 years. And next to Soleimani was probably the highest ranking target. And now Iran is engaging in all sorts of threats against Israel for taking him out, although there's a lot of sighs of relief about it. Iran is threatening retribution. We know that they have told the United States to get out of the way. The United States keeps saying to them, "We didn't know about it, so don't target us." I mean, they have stooped so low even to send flowers to one of the hostage families whose relative is still alive, but sent them a mourning bouquet and expressing condolences on the death of their loved one. So there is no level to which they won't stoop in order to in carrying out their propaganda campaigns. The Russian vice president is hosting the vice president of Iran with a large delegation. Iran is trying to take advantage of this moment, particularly because they think Israel, being criticized by the UN and elsewhere, is in a weakened state. But they will be proven wrong on that as well.
I want to understand this, though. Offers no response. So Iran is not going to retaliate somewhere if the U.S. stops Israel's intention to defeat Hamas. Is that what they're saying?
Well, if Israel delivers them on a silver platter, that in fact is a victory for them, because if Israel cannot complete the removal of the Hamas leadership and its capacity to attack Israel, that's a victory for Hamas. That's a victory for Iran. It's a victory for terrorism in the region. And every country, and they all say this, and I heard it yesterday even from a leader of one of the countries, that if they win, we will see an upsurge in terrorism going through the Gulf, going through Egypt, Jordan, Morocco. Every one of them, every ally we have, will face the threat now.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes. Malcolm, can you shed some light on the increasing chaos in Jordan and the escalating terrorist threat out of Lebanon?
Yes, the situation in Jordan is getting more tense. The demonstrations are growing. It is the intent of the Muslim Brotherhood that have long been active in Jordan to foment chaos. Iran, I think, is coveting Jordan because if they can bring down the government and move to take control through various extremist Islamist groups, they would that would bring them right to Israel's border. The protesters express support for Hamas and praise its military commanders, Jordan, on the other hand, and callings to expel the American ambassador and rebellion against the king. And the king, of course, is very susceptible, given that two-thirds of the population in Jordan is Palestinian, and therefore they have to worry about the threats. The Jordan has been much more vocal in being critical of Israel as a result of this in trying to assuage them, but that is not what they want. They want the king to fall. They want to take over and we see the increased efforts to smuggle very sophisticated and much larger quantities of weapons through Jordan to the West Bank and to Syria. And Jordan has cooperated on some of it. They said that they would had the raids to take out drug shipments, but in fact, we believe it was against some of these transfers to terrorist groups.
And Lebanon?
So Lebanon is becoming increasingly destabilized. The attacks continue, the tit-for-tat attacks between Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad versus Israel. They have done a great deal of damage in Israel's north, and 80,000 people have not been able to return there. And we also see that Shiite terrorist groups are joining Sunni terrorist groups in mobilizing and in joining in supposedly joint efforts that would respond or attack Israel. This is a rare combination. It doesn't last long, but we know that the Hezbollah is unsure what to do. They don't want to have, as it appears right now, an all-out war with Israel. They know the price they will pay. The people of Lebanon certainly don't want it, and they would like to get rid of Hezbollah altogether. So it's a very difficult inflection point for Lebanon on its own, but also within the larger context of what's going on in the region.
Turkey. Erdogan just lost an election across the country, humiliated. It's 100 years since Turkey turned from Sharia law to jurisprudence. What's happened, Malcolm?
This is actually to the day, the 100th anniversary, when the government of Turkey, the enlightened government of Turkey of that day, it got rid of the Sharia courts, meaning the Islamist courts, and moved to secular courts and a normal legal system. And Ataturk, as you know, brought democracy and Western orientation to Turkey, which has been reversed under Erdogan to a significant degree. And we see the rise of Sharia courts and others there and elsewhere in the Middle East and even in Great Britain. This is Turkey's economy continues to spiral. Its currency is losing value every day. And Erdogan, I think, has a real serious challenge. He faced an election 4 years, having lost a very big defeat in the recent municipal elections. I think he feels still confident and believes that he will be able to overcome it. And I think you'll see fresh efforts to improve the economy, how this will relate to his policies towards Israel and towards the United States. We will have to see.
And the election, what is that significant in terms of Turkey's predation? There are bad actors all across Africa. Does that mean he pulls his claws back?
So that is a question I actually asked as well. And there's no evidence of it. He has always resorted to external targets and diversions to take away people's attention from the domestic crises, whether it was the PKK or the wars and the efforts in Syria and Iraq and elsewhere. And I think that we'll continue to see it. He may try to rein it in and try to do much more regarding the economy at the same time. But his external adventurism, it seems, is not going to be diminished.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. We're going looking for the Dusty One. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.